Namaste and greetings for the International Yoga Day, one of the many gifts of India. But even as we celebrate this day, it's occasion to for us to look within and understand what really yoga is. So ordinarily, when we use the word, we mean certain exercises, physical and sometimes psychological, sometimes a good mix of physical, psychological exercises, bit of mastery over breath, training of the mind, certain healthy attitudes, certain physical postures, which are meant to give us a good balanced body-mind relationship. Well, it is good. It is good so far as it goes, but this is actually touching only the surface of yoga. For the word actually means union, and it implies that there is an incompleteness within us. We are not yet whole, so to say. So what we are today, we need not spend time discussing it, but we are, if we look carefully within, we are quite a fragmented being within and quite a fragmented society, quite a fragmented creature in this world abounding with many, many objects, other creations, living forms, and of course human beings, and who knows many more beings than we can even see or imagine. So this fragmented existence is a state, if I may draw the parallel, we use the word yoga, so this is a state of viyoga. Viyoga means suffering. So we suffer. We suffer because there is lack of harmony within our thoughts, feelings and will. Lack of harmony between our will and actions, lack of harmony within our deepest need and whatever outer life is, lack of harmony within us and our family members, lack of harmony between us and other fellow humans, lack of harmony between us as human beings and the other creatures. So this is a fragmented state and it brings suffering. So according to yoga, the root cause of suffering is ignorance. And this ignorance is what, it's due to a state of consciousness we live in, which is called as a divisive state, a state of division. Meaning thereby that we are living not in a state of unity, but in a state of division, where each thing is seen separately, functions separately, and the lack of coordination. It's like a car in which we have all the different parts which are there, but each part is starting, stopping, working on its own. Imagine what will be the state of such a car where all the different parts are not in coordination with each other. So the first thing that yoga attempts is to bring us back to wholeness. That means to find a synthesis between all our different activities. And to do that, we must discover the central piece of the jigsaw puzzle called life. What I mean by this is that, well, normally our existence is centered around our ego self. Ego self means I am Dr. Alok Pandey, I am born here, I am born there, I have this degree, qualification. With these things I identify myself, and quite naturally, Dr. Alok Pandey has very little to do with Dr. XYZ or any other person. Yes, we meet together in a state of mutuality and cooperation based on how we serve each other's interest, how our ideas and opinions meet and how they clash with each other. So this is the egoistic state in which there is no real sense of unity. We try to create unity very precariously, but there is no real unity. So yoga is to arrive at the true basis of unity. So what is the true basis of unity? Logically, if we assume that this creation has one origin, it cannot be, each object cannot have too many origins, so there will be one origin, it cannot be otherwise. So there is an origin, there is a source, call it God, call it X, call it call it anything, call it by any name, don't give a name to it, doesn't matter. So there is an origin and source which is the same in everyone. Meaning thereby, my individual self with a capital S and the self of the universe and the self of all creatures is one. So if we can discover this true self And with this self and on this basis we join with others, then we can discover at least one basis of unity. Whether it will help us in principle of action or not, we can come to later. And we can take a very mundane example. People fight with each other. Quarrel is a very common preoccupation of human beings living in the same house or under the same roof. But let's say that between brother and sisters, well, quarrels may take place, but there is a lot more understanding, lot more acceptance, because we relate to the same mother and same father. That, well, we have the same mother and same father. So when we talk about the origin, we mean something very similar. Similarly, we can take the example of friends. So what is the basis of friendship? Well, normally if somebody startles me by giving a little thapdi or a slap from behind, I would get startled, maybe I'll get angry. But when I turn back and discover, oh, it's my friend, so my reaction will be different. Or if somebody hits me on the hand and the person is not known to me, I'll naturally react. But if it's my own hand, then it'll be called clapping. So there is a state of oneness, that's what yoga says, a state of unity in the one, one with a capital O. And if we can enter into that one and discover this unity within, a lot of problems of our life will be solved. Because when we see others, we will not see them as other than ourselves, but as reflections of the one, as even sometimes distortions of the one. You know, there is a very beautiful little story which sums it up. And of course, there is a beautiful concept of yajna, which is, you know, related to yoga. So, first the story that when Yajnavalk is asked by his wife, Maitri, that why does one love the wife, why does one love the child, why does one love the country, and so on and so forth. So Yajnavalk says that, well, one loves the, by the way, this is not, yeah, this is from his wife Maitri, but there is a similar dialogue also, since you know you have a Gargi college, you may be aware that Gargi is the name of a Rishika who was very close to Yajnavalk, and she is the one with whom there are several dialogues of Rishi Yajnavalk. They are worth reading. So Gargi is one of the Rishis who has also contributed to the Vedas. So anyways, Yajnavalk gives an answer. One loves the wife not for the sake of the wife, but for the sake of the self. One loves the child not for the sake of the child, but for the sake of the self. And one loves the country or humanity or the creatures not for the sake of themselves, but for the sake of the self. Now, this self is a very interesting word, because as is our self, so is our love. Meaning thereby, if I am identified with a small self, and that's what yoga teaches us, that there are within us several selves, and we can experience it during daytime. When we wake up in the morning, it is one person who wakes up, and depending on the quality of sleep, this person reacts this way or that way. He may get up angry, he may be drowsy, and that time if somebody tells him, I have a problem to solve, he may just react with anger. Or some people wake up beautifully, whatever it be. Then throughout the day we see that this self seems to change. At one moment I am angry, at another moment I am peaceful, at one moment I am forgiving, at another moment I am jealous. So this changing panorama of selves, as is our, now this change will take place, but there is something like a central self, a basic nature, a basic tendency, somewhat defining self. So as is that, so is our life, its quality, and so is our relationship with the world. And we can take several examples. There are people who believe that animals are meant for pleasure. There are some who even go on to believe that women are meant for that. And imagine if such a person with this kind of a small, narrow, I would say bigoted self, were to meet others, what will be his approach and attitude? Whereas if somebody lives in the sense of a self which is the largest self, that the divine dwells in everyone. I'm using this word because I like this word, okay? You can use any other word, divine. And this is the reason why I like to use this word. So if somebody says that, well, there is the divine self in everyone, Will I deal with my wife, my child in the same way as I would if I lived in the small self of Mr. So-and-so who is living life only to be happy and enjoy? Because then I would, well, try to find happiness from any source or whatever it be. And in the process, in trying to seek pleasure from those around me, I may end up hurting. I may end up giving suffering to others. So, yoga in one way is ascending the staircase of self. From a small self to a greater self, from a greater self to the ultimate great self. That's how the Gita puts it. It gives a very nice image of the human being in totality. So, I mean, Gita is the ultimate authentic scripture of, yoga. And though people try to abridge it, but what is the image it gives? It gives the image of a chariot. We can replace the chariot with a car, but chariot is very interesting. So, body of the chariot is our own body. And the horses are the senses that drive the body. In the sense, we are driven by objects of the senses. We see this and it's very pleasing, we go towards that. We hear something very pleasing, say for instance somebody is flattering us, we tend to associate with such a person. And if something tastes pleasant to us, we automatically, even if we know it is going to make us ill, we continue eating it. So this chariot of the body is driven by the senses. And what holds the senses or the chariot or the horses is the mind. Mind is the sixth sense which integrates. So what is meant by this is ultimately it is mind which is enjoying. So there are people who restrain the senses outwardly. You will see certain sannyasis or certain people who dress up in certain ways only to sometimes authentically, sometimes to put up a show. But their mind is roving around the objects of the senses. And therefore, they are still, their body is driven by the same. Say, if I desire, if I am full of greed, I may restrain a food, but the desire is activating my glands to secrete more and more juices, which are going to be harmful to me. So this way, there is no limit to the, this mind may continue to play the game even when we have restrained the physical senses. So that's what it means. So restraining physical senses is not enough. We have to find a way that the mind itself can be not just restrained but taught to choose rightly and wisely. So there is this third element within us which is called buddhi. So buddhi is the intelligence which is used for judgment, which is used for understanding, which is used for discernment. Now when people often say that don't be judgmental, basically it can mean one of the two things. One is be indiscriminate. Do whatever you feel like, don't try to judge. It is dangerous because if we do that and lead life that way, it can be very dangerous. But at the same time, non-judgmental also means something which is very good. Don't judge people by their appearances. Don't condemn somebody because outwardly you see him behaving in a certain way. Don't pass, strong judgments and condemnatory, censorious notes. So, but there is in us a faculty of judgment which helps us to make choices. So the first step of yoga is to awaken this faculty. Without awakening this faculty, we may do a lot of exercises. We may do all the vyayam and all the pranayam and all the asanas, all correct. And we may also do meditation, sit quietly, bolt straight, and we may learn to focus the mind on some object. But if buddhi is not awakened, still we will be prone to peril and dangers, just like Ravana and Hiranyakashyapu. They did lot of hatha yoga and they had mastered the breath. Ravana had even mastered his mind to an extent that he could control the Navagrahas, that means the subtle forces which we fit. It's not talking about planets, well, that's a different question, it's about semantics, but we'll not get into that. So in spite of all this, still his life was a disaster towards the end. Why? Because he did not have in him an awakened buddhi. And this awakened buddhi, which can discern things and teach us what is true, what is beautiful, what is good. So there is a term used in Indian literature which doesn't have really an equivalent in the West, though people use the word reason, rational, but reason is a different thing, slightly different thing. So buddhi or awakened intelligence, which teaches us what is the right thing to be done, what is the thing that is true, what is the thing which is beautiful, what is truly a good act, and the term for that is dharma. So when the buddhi is awakened and turned inward and upward, then we are beginning to step into a true life, a life of dharma. A life of dharma has nothing to do with rituals. It is not about wearing a sindoor over the forehead. It's not about, you know, going to the temple and keeping a fast and observing, certain prescriptions and proscriptions of religious life. Dharma is a very deep and profound thing. One may do all this. Again, Ravan did all this. But we don't regard Ravan as an ideal person, because Ravan had given his buddhi to the lower motives of lust and ambition. That was Ravan's problem. So his buddhi was used to justify all his kukritya, if I may say so. And the more intelligent one is, the more one is able to justify. That's why being too intelligent is not necessarily a wonderful thing. It is how we use it. Of course it's good. We should have intelligence. Very nice. It's a sign of evolution. But how we turn this intelligence to what use, that's what matters. So yoga teaches us how to use this intelligence which is we are endowed with and which is still developing. That's where the whole evolution comes. So first step of evolution is how to use what is given to us rightly. And by right, we don't mean a moral book, a book which is outside, a rule which society imposes. But by right is meant what deep within us, something which gives us the sense intuitively of what is beautiful, what is good, what is true. And we know it. We may cover it with all kinds of nice facades. So by going within, we begin to discover something in us which intuitively is like a beacon light which tells us. We may not listen to it. That's a different story. But this light which shows us, and all of us have it. This doesn't require any deep practice. But if we learn to be quiet, we don't listen to this little voice. It's not the voice of conscience, by the way. Conscience is a mental construct. We are not talking of right and wrong according to the rule book. But something which, as situations change, automatically tells us. Don't we often see that even with our parents, that they are doing something very a wrong decision, even though it is approved by society. Yet this is something which should not be done. And I could take any number of examples, dilemmas which we are facing today, which you cannot resolve unless we undertake the yoga and begin to discern what is, how to separate the true from the false. Take, for example, a married couple. They don't have a children. They are living together, but there is no more any love between them. So, is it a beautiful thing to do, or is it not a beautiful thing to do? What about people who are not married, but they feel deep love and longing for each other? What should they do? So I am just giving one common example. There are plenty. What about a judge who, as per the law, is meant to send a person to the gallows? But suddenly within him, a change awakens. And he begins to feel that this person who is going to go to the gallows is basically a person who is in dense ignorance. And maybe if there is a facility, I could send him to a reformatory. Could a prison be a place where people could be reformed rather than punished? The whole idea of punishment may collapse. So there are several examples we can take. A person who is on the deathbed. Should we really allow euthanasia or we should not? I am not giving answers. I have my own answers based on dharma. But people should discover it. Important thing is to awaken the dharma. And one of the best books, two best books, which I feel all Indians should at least read, is Ramayana and Mahabharata. They are truly dharma shastra. Mahabharata is known to be a dharma shastra where several dilemmas of all kinds are brought up and resolved. Draupadi is five husbands, for example. And eventually you discover through all these conflicts, Arjuna's conflict, whether I should shoot the arrow or not. So awakening this buddhi by practicing, turning it away, controlling the mind and the senses by the buddhi, not justifying the ways of mind, not justifying wherever senses are leading us, But to distinguish, it is known as Nirashir Vivek. That's why it's sometimes picturized as a Hansa, swan, which can distinguish between milk and water. Figuratively, I don't know whether it can really do it or not, but it's a beautiful simile. It's intricately mixed. Our human life is like that. In it, milk, water and poison are mixed. And you can't detect. But Buddhi awakened can do it. So that next question is how to awaken the Buddhi. Buddhi is there in everybody, but it's misused. So first thing is it should withdraw from this kind of misuse. So the example that is given in the Gita, and of course Patanjali Yoga Sutra also use the word pratyahar. Pratyahar means as a tortoise withdraws inside a shell. So Buddhi should learn to train itself to withdraw from all this flowing into the senses automatically, bound by it. So if we see people quarreling, we rush into it. We see debates, we rush into it. All kinds of animated discussion. What happens in home? Somebody says something and we rush into it. We get annoyed, we react, and the other person reacts. So what could have been easily resolved turns into a storm in a teacup. So basically, Buddhi has to be trained. This is a practice in yoga to learn to not step back and not immediately rush to act based on the sensory input. And these inputs can come from strange places. Oh, somebody was saying this about you. Oh, is it? You start rolling your sleeves. How do you know even if that information is true or not? How do we know that what was the context of saying it? How do we know what was the background of the person? So all this psychological manipulation, psychological understanding within comes in the field of yoga. So one may say, oh, how does this become yoga? Because yoga is precisely to go deep into our subjective psychological being. That is the path that a yogi takes to discover ultimately the origin. Science tries it, material science, by dwelling deep into the objective being. By objective is meant the solid objects, the creatures outside. It dissects them, trying to go deeper. But we have a subjective side. We have a world of thoughts, feelings, will, impulsions, instincts, hopes, depressions, anxieties, happiness, God knows, world teeming. We have not studied it. We are not taught it. Nobody in school teaches us. We don't even know what goes on inside. We just react suddenly and instinctively, and we think we are right. The Buddhi immediately justifies. Oh, he got angry with me, so I got angry. I gave him right. And a friend will say, yes, you did the right thing. We don't reflect. So this inner reflection, stepping back and seeing that the action that I am going to take, how does it impact my own life? Is it so important that I should do this? And then we discover that 99% of the things that we do have very little real impact upon our life. So a lot of things which are both wasted effort, take for instance, gossip, favorite pastime, rumors, another favorite pastime, discussing inanities, discussing food, discussing God knows what. So when we look at it that way, then we discover how much we waste our time, energy, and naturally very little is left for progress, which is what we are here for. So yoga's philosophy, if you want to put it, is that human beings are here for progress. So what about happiness? Well, happiness comes if we progress. But if we try to be happy, then very often this happiness tends to turn into sorrow. And progress, the real progress, doesn't take place. So this is the whole philosophy on which it hinges. So first thing is awakening the Buddhi, first step of progress. Then the Buddhi itself must refer to something higher, a still higher intelligence. And that higher intelligence, the supreme intelligence, which is the source of all love, peace, beauty, joy, harmony, strength, is what is known as the divine. So what is God in one sentence? We have made a God with a dadi and a baba, with a stick and a rod and carrot in one hand. That's a God of our own making. Or we turn him into an abstraction of nothingness and emptiness. But God is real, and because of that the world is real, and all our incomplete, imperfect strands of inner movements and outer world draw from that origin. And because that is our origin, we are constantly seeking that. Aren't we seeking for perfect love? Aren't we seeking for perfect truth? Aren't we seeking for perfect bliss? Aren't we seeking for perfect peace? Aren't we seeking for perfect power? Why are we seeking it? Because yoga says we carry it within us. That's the origin and that's the source. And if we find it, we begin to feel full. The word used is Atmarati. So Atmarati is somebody who feels full within. So when we are full within, we don't go greedily after this or that object. Does it mean we will not act? We will act. But the basis of our action will change. We'll not be reacting. We'll not be rushing to grab, possess. We'll be acting with objects to bring out that fullness which is within creation. So as an artist, if I paint a picture, I will not just paint the appearance. You know, there is this idea about realism in art. So realism in art, they believe, show tuta futa and you know, that's what life is. No. The artist will be able to see the beauty inside the ugly because he is carrying that, he is one with that self within. And through his art, he will begin to bring that self, express that self. That's how Indian sculpture, Indian painting, we see some of them, still they are there in some of the temples. They have even tried to create a temple bringing out that fullness of creation. Every element of creation, every force, energy, beings, levels, worlds, multiverse, and then the one divine source. So this fullness when we experience inside, when we talk to people, when we deal with people, they may be our close relations, our husband, wife, mother, father, child. We'll see that wholeness inside, seeking to express, and we'll see the distortions in the child's nature, because of which it is unable to fulfill itself. And what will be our role? Our role will be to help the child discover his wholeness, not mine. It is the same in a sense, but his wholeness, by that I mean in his own way, in his own unique way, and thereby fulfill his own life. That's why yoga doesn't believe in conversion. It doesn't believe in mass practice of the same thing. It is an absurdity. Didn't Swami Vivekananda say when everybody will have his own God and his own religion, that will be an ideal state? Because that's the beauty of this journey, uniqueness. All that is there is that, yes, there is a wholeness inside us and we need to discover it. And just as different people climb to Mount Everest in different paths, each one. That's why religious conversion is so absurd and meaningless. It is a proof that we are in ignorance. Or any kind of conversion. Each one is discovering and we have to assist in that discovering. A person may be a thoroughly material scientist. A person may be just learning H2 plus O equals to water. And one has to raise this question. Why is it that hydrogen and oxygen combine in a certain way to create something which to our cognate experience has the qualities and properties of what today we know as of water? It's a question. Why do atoms and molecules combine in certain ways? What is it that makes the molecules inside a gene to act in such a way that despite all the so-called randomness, you know, the chances of error, if you look at it, 1 in 1,000,000 plus, I don't remember the figure. What is it that determines? They are not conscious. But they behave intelligently, they behave consciously. So when we dwell upon these deeper mysteries and imagine what will be the limits to what such a consciousness which has evolved to that point can actually achieve. So when such a person meets another person who is full of anger, annoyance, disturbed, what does he have to do? He has to awaken this truth inside, the truth of the divine, the fullness of the divine. You can't be angry with anyone anymore. You may feel sympathy, you may feel pity sometimes, though pity is not a good word. Because if somebody is angry at you, it is he who is suffering. He's carrying this pot of anger inside. Just imagine. What a ridiculous thing. When somebody is jealous, either of you or because of you, that person is suffering. He is carrying honeybees which are stinging constantly. What is the honey inside the honeybee? It's a good analogy. Behind jealousy, there is love. Unfortunately, turned inside outward. Honeybee stings and gives pain, but it can also make honey. If you get rid of that, if you learn how to make honey. So, this third level of yoga is where we transmute it's an inner alchemy. We discover that certain combinations within can be changed. Certain reactions, habitual reactions, they can be changed. And by this change, we can begin to effectuate first a change within us, a transformation within us, and also by that change we can effectuate a change outside. As it is said, the tiger does not attack the yogi. I have seen these things in life. I am not saying them. Even in your health and healing, it can be a great value. A lot of suffering, ill health is because of all these fears that we carry, greed, desire. So many people died in corona, unfortunately. But why? Was it only the virus or was it fear? There's a very interesting story about one king had a dream. Some asura is telling him that I am going to take away 1,000 people from your kingdom over the next 10 days. And the king gets up, he is a Shiva Bhakt and prays to Shiva. And Shiva says, no, no, it is actually only one. One has to die. So he is very assured. But then 1,000 die. And he asked Shiva, he said, that illness sent by the asura took only one. 999 died out of fear. Fear completely paralyzes our immune system. It goes berserk. But see, how we were doing all this, despite India being a land of yoga, forget about the world. And you can't help it because we Indians, we are not no more living the true yoga. For us, it's just a set of physical exercises. But truly a yogi can be remain immune in the midst of everything. And I could go on and on in that area, but I'm just halting here. So this is the potential of yoga. He can transmit health. Just as there is a contagion of fear, there is a contagion of health. How does he do it? When a yogi lives in the true self, automatically it awakens in others the yearning for the true self. That's what happens when we meet a true guru. I'm not talking of the term has been also falsified. We meet somebody who is realized, somebody who is awakened to this deeper reality. What happens? You feel the peace you always wanted to get. And you want to spend time sitting at the feet of such a master. Few and far in between that they are still. I am not talking about what a true master is. True master will never act for money. Be sure of it. He will not even proclaim that I am a guru and a master. He will be a man. This is how Ken Upanishad describes. Who is a sign of a master. But he'll be full of that rasa of the divine, that joy of the divine, that peace of the divine, that wisdom of the divine. So people come to such a master, and that's why it is said that the longing for the master and the master's love for the disciple or the comrade, for want of better word, is among the greatest that anyone can ever experience. Surpasses even the love of a mother and child. At a human level, that love. Why? Because love is the power that attracts. Why are people drawn? They are drawn because they feel here is something which I instinctively need, but I don't get it. So what does a true master do? He says, well, it's also inside you. And you too can tap it. Seeing the master, he begins to automatically develop the confidence, tries, and if he tries rightly, strives sincerely, he too finds it. And to discover this one, this resplendent, beautiful, divine being is this glory of glories, is one of the work of yoga, results of yoga. How it changes life. When you meet people, you don't call them, oh, he's a useless fellow, he's a rotten fellow. You say he is the divine wearing a mask of, you know, ugliness. And while you have to rip open the mask if need be, even with a sword if needed, that's why Sri Krishna, who sees oneness everywhere, does kill Kansa. It's called as Uddhar. Sometimes you need to rip off the mask to make the person discover who the person truly is. But you will not have any hatred, you will not have any, you know, all other those movements that corrupt a straight action. So this is yoga where you begin to discover your own subjective space, thoughts, feelings, will, and your consciousness begins to change. And this change of consciousness is the whole meaning of life. You see what happens, we look at evolution only as change of forms. So we see there is a change from the reptiles to the birds as a species. Just why? Because it marks a departure. Amphibian to reptile, bird, the fishes, amphibians and reptiles, we can to an extent understand. Or the invertebrate to the vertebrate. But here we see a radical departure. Something new begins to come in birds and mammals and human beings. What is it that comes? We talk about form. Birds fly, reptiles crawl. All this is so beautiful and symbolic. But leave that aside. They'll be going into endless territory. But the change that you notice is that for the first time in birds, mammals and human beings, maternal feelings, care, all this begins to express. It's not there in reptiles. Snakes eat their own child. They don't feel the need to protect their progeny. Fishes can do that. Amphibians, we had those dinosaurs and lizards. But for the first time, there is a stir of true feeling. It starts in birds, but particularly in higher animals. Now we understand why eating meat of these animals is generally prohibited. Because they have the touch of the soul within. This stir of true feelings, feelings of love, compassion, sympathy. Why they are special? Because here we are extending beyond a limited selfish self into others. We begin to partake their grief through sympathy, through tenderness, what makes us uniquely human in certain ways. So you see a humanity developing only with the analytical intellectual mind, missing out on the deeper heart. That's what was by definition an asura. Asura's evolution has taken linearly, but not in terms of depth. But this depth, we begin to see that nature itself begins to create this deeper heart of feelings inside higher animals. So they begin to feel for others. That's how dogs can feel for their, you know, masters. Even cats can feel, unlike what people say. Horses, they can give their life for their master. Is it something ordinary? It's extraordinary. We take it for granted. Difficult for human beings. Why? Because human beings have become mind-centered. But these animals can make such beautiful gestures, especially higher animals, mammals, even dolphins for that matter. Whales, they can respond. Whales are again mammals. So when we look at life this way, that there is an evolution taking place of consciousness. So new movements and possibilities of consciousness begin to enter as the form changes, or shall we say, that the consciousness changes and therefore the form changes. If you believe in Lamarck and if you believe in modern theories of epigenetics and how genes themselves can undergo a change because of what's happening within us, in our body, in our milieu, that's a whole subject. I'm not going into it. But just to give an example, how Indians acquired the diabetic gene. Because there was a deliberate famine created by the civilized nations. Who were the civilized nations that time? United Kingdom. We still take great pride in speaking English the way the Englishman does. And see what he had done, 40s. What he had done, many things we don't need to discuss. There was a deliberate famine. All the stores were taken away and, you know. So what happens when there was a famine? Indian, the genes of many Indians mutated so that it could create more glucose, rapidly metabolize glycogen in the liver and give shots of glucose because people are dying. And also genes that could accumulate lipid because you need to store somewhere. So the genes started storing fat. Now we don't have famine, but the genes are still active. But we can undo it. So how is it that what is happening outside and within the body is affecting the gene? If you look at the distance between the surface of the cell and the nucleus, it is almost like traveling from Delhi to Pondicherry at that level. And they are literally like a tube rail. Things which communicate back and forth, and we say it's all unconscious mechanism. So this consciousness evolved. People had a need to do something, and this need transmuted the genes. And we became fat and we became diabetic. Not a good change, of course, but that time it was needed. So when we change within, what yoga proposes is nothing less than that if we change within, if we change our consciousness, if our consciousness can evolve, it will have an impact not only on the life around, but also on our very body. Even the body can be transmuted. I don't know, you may have seen the face of certain yogis. I have had the great fortune to, Shurbinda and the mother, if you read what happened to people who few seconds stood before them. But I know of Champaklalji who lived with them, and it was not me, so many, it was like a light. And I was very perplexed that how does he travel? Because this light cannot be hidden. And I literally asked, like, body is radiating light. This body itself is a mysteries workshop. There is an occult side of the chemistry which is going on inside the body. We don't explore it. And we look into the Panch Tattva. All this yoga explores. The hidden chemistry of life, the hidden chemistry, the interchange that takes place between human beings and between with this creation, and ultimately the interchange between man and the divine reality. It's a vast subject. It can take us into endless depths. And it's a fascinating study. Yoga turns us into students for life. Yoga is not a book to be read and practiced. Yoga is inbuilt in the book of life, and we are programmed for yoga. And if we learn how to read it, even the first few alphabets of this book, which is asana, pranayama and meditation, they are just first few alphabets. And they itself create a wow. Imagine when you read the letters and the words and the sentences and the paragraphs and the chapters and the whole book. And when we thus feel a student for life, we get a secret of remaining young forever. After all, what is youth? Always wanting to progress. What is old age? Arey, hamare zamane mein hota tha. Hum sab jante. Anybody who behaves like that, you know that he's old. When people start giving you advices and, you know, in our time, and who feels that the younger lot are the worst in every generation, right? From time of Plato, even in Mahabharata, you will hear this. Sri Krishna was labeled as corrupter of youth by Bhurishrava. So yoga keeps us young because this book is a book of the infinite. It takes us from the finite knowledge to infinite wisdom. By infinite is meant that this wisdom keeps on adapting itself any number of times in any number of ways. That's why dharma cannot be defined, it can only be lived. You can't make a moral rule out of dharma, thus thou shalt never kill or thou shalt kill. If you do that, it's no more dharma but moral science textbook which should be thrown out of the windows because it's not real in life. But dharma teaches us it's infinite because you can't fix it into a rule. Now thou shalt kill and now thou shalt abstain from killing. That's what dharma will teach us. So it's a book of the infinite. And so it gives us great joy because we are constantly learning and progressing. So you'll see that anybody truly practicing yoga is full of that inner joy. Not because of endorphins, for God's sake. Okay, endorphins have a role. But what triggers the endorphins? That's what is important. See, the whole thing of yoga is consciousness is before form. Will is before action. It's not that a chemical cell goes, triggers in the brain, and then the will awakens and then we act. The theory of yoga is will, consciousness, thoughts, they exist as independent realities and in their own worlds, and the body is just a machine. The brain is a tool. The body is a machine. Wonderful machine. And this consciousness that's all around in everything, that has an impact upon the body and upon creation. So it gives us finally, as a final word, the clue to changing this world and changing life. We all want change. And I think in 20s and 30s, if people don't want any change, then there's something amiss. But at 40, if they believe the change can be brought about by legislation, government and systems and theocracy and democracy and communism, then they have ended up their life fooling themselves. We all want change. Because life is constantly evolving. This change should be purposeful. But what is the key to the change? The key is change my consciousness. First step. And as consciousness changes, it begins to enlarge, grow wider and wider. It has an impact upon surroundings, even on trees and plants and objects. You can discover a whole science out there. An object charged by a higher consciousness is no more just an object, but a vehicle. That's why in a temple, when you do prana pratishtha of an idol, it's no more a stone. You don't go to the temple and say, I went to a stone, beautifully carved stone, lovely stone. You say, I had Rama's darshan. Because that object is a stone, no doubt, but there is a whole science. If a person who is awakened inside, that consciousness he can pour into it. It's very simple and logical. And once it is stabilized in that stone, then it becomes a vigraha, which is charged by the presence. It becomes the deity. It's a whole process. We can charge a material object with beautiful thoughts. That's why when somebody who loves us gives us a pen or even a rose, we treasure it for life. When we lose it, we feel sad because something within us understands that it's not just a pen. And we feel it so silly if somebody says, "Arey, pen hi to hai, kya farak padta hai?" You say, "It's not a pen. It's this person's love who gave me the pen. You won't understand." You end up saying that. Because it has been charged with a certain consciousness and it carries a special sense to us. These things are not superstitions and sentiments. They have their own reality, which yoga explores, and so much more than all this. And this is just a teaser. Obviously, we can't cover this subject even over several, if lectures, talks, books. It's an endless subject. At some point, one has to dive within, take the plunge, and make one's own discoveries. It's a wonderful world to discover out there or in here. So I think I'll stop here. If there is some question or something, I'll be happy to take it.
Thank you so much, sir, for your really very deep words. The way you are presenting and the way you are explaining all the facts, the deep knowledge in the medical science also include that was commendable. अगर मैं साधारण शब्दों में अगर मैं इसको एक छोटे से वाक्य में लेकर आऊं तो योगा जो विकास है जो इवोल्यूशन है जो कॉन्शियसनेस जो लेकर आया है तो शुरुआत हुआ है सरल से जो आपको शक्ति दिया है आपको शक्ति के साथ आपके साथ समता लेकर आया जो यूनिटी को बांधता है यूनिटी के साथ साथ आपको सहज बनाता है सहज के साथ आपको सहज शक्ति देता है और आखिरी में आपको सुंदरता के साथ साथ संपूर्ण रूप से आपको एक्टिव करता है तो आपके आखिरी वर्ड्स थे कि आपने
पूर्णता
तो वर्ड से कनेक्ट करके बिल्कुल सुंदर तरीके से ह्यूमन ब्रेन तक उसको कनेक्ट किया और ये छोटे छोटे एग्जाम्पल की आप कितना अटैच होते हैं अपने साथ जब आप इतना डीप नॉलेज में चले आते हैं एक पेन के एग्जाम्पल से आपने समझाया सर आई एम श्योर कि काफी लोगों को ये बहुत नया लगा होगा और ये एक शुरुआत है कि आप योगा से अपने अंदर कितना ज्यादा परिवर्तन लेकर आ सकते हैं मैं अब इनवाइट करता हूँ अपने पार्टिसिपेंट्स कि अगर उनके मन में कुछ भी सवाल हो या कोई क्वेश्चन तो पूछ सकते हैं।
आप मैं बस बहुत सुंदर आपने कहा, अपूर्णता से पूर्णता की ओर, खंडता से अखंडता की ओर, अनेकता से एकत्व की ओर। बहुत सुंदर, थैंक यू।
गुड मॉर्निंग सर, माय
नेम इज लवली पांडे एंड
गुड मॉर्निंग ऑफ दैट कॉलेज स्टूडेंट काउंसिल। ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ एंटायर स्टूडेंट कम्युनिटी आई वुड लाइक टू एक्सप्रेस माय डीपेस्ट ग्रेटिट्यूड टू यू फॉर शेयरिंग सच इनसाइटफुल व्यूज अबाउट योगा एज कॉन्शियस एवोल्यूशन। सर, माय क्वेश्चन टू यू इज देयर एनी डिफरेंस बिटवीन स्पिरिचुअल ग्रोथ and concept evolution, and how does the concept of self-realization in yoga contribute to individual and collective transformation?
Okay, good question. So first step was, is there a difference between spiritual growth and conscious evolution? Well, there are two ways of saying the same thing. But spiritual growth for many of us remains something which is cut off from, the ordinary life, the worldly life that we are leading. But the word conscious evolution is a more all-encompassing term. For instance, when I use the word conscious evolution, it means that in all my dealings with life, manifold dealings, in my work, in my household things, in my relationships, in my studies, in my speaking, listening, and dealing with material things, in everything, there is a conscious way that I can handle it, by discovering the same greater and greater consciousness within me and within them. Whereas spiritual growth, as it is ordinarily understood, yes, in the true sense, they are one. Ordinarily, it is understood by something which goes beyond the mind and further up into a state of nirvana. But here, conscious evolution implies, evolution is by its very nature a collective process. And therefore, it implies a change in the way I deal with life. And to take this example, the ape... I think the gorilla brain and the human brain would have 98% similar genes, even yeast for that matter. But the way a gorilla deals with life, understands this life and the human being, there's a world of difference. So this difference comes because the consciousness changes. So spirituality, as long as we understand by spirituality, it is not otherworldly, but other and this worldly together. You grow within to deal with the outside world better and better, then it's fine. But unfortunately, the word spiritual has taken in the human consciousness, partly also because of the spiritual men. They have tried to, make it into a very specialized process, which is cut off from life. And you have to, set aside a time apart in which you must do certain practices. And that is the sphere of God. And this is the sphere of, it's like party, creating a division between secular and religious and God and the world. That's why this word unfortunately has come to assume a different meaning. Otherwise they are basically the same. And naturally your second part of the question, that how does individual evolution, automatically, because we are interconnected. See, when we live in the company of an angry person, and sometimes not only person, people have restaurant by the name of Angry Bird. It's a game you play. But why do we have to do this? So these words, these people with whom we live, it has an impact upon us, and vice versa. So if we grow within, if we are more peaceful, let's take a very mundane example. And quite naturally, those around us, and I can suggest this as a formula, next time there is a quarrel going on between two people, this, you try to be peaceful, genuinely peaceful inside. You see, the other person will not find support to continue with the anger. Because anger wants anger. It actually wants. It wants to multiply its own progeny. And when it doesn't find that support, it tends to dwindle. May not be immediately, and it depends on the degree of peace one has cultivated. So, it definitely, individual evolution of consciousness has an impact on the collective evolution. It is the individual who evolves first, always, spearheads, even at the ideative level. And then it becomes generalized, morphogenetic resonance, if you like to call it. So, pehle vyakti ka vikas, phir samasti ka vikas. Pehle swaraj, phir samraj. That's how we put it.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We are very much pleased to have you. It is very grateful for us to hear you, sir. एक्चुअली कल के सेशन में हम लोगों ने ना पांच कोशास के बारे में पढ़ा था, और आज हम लोग सुन रहे हैं कि योग इज अ सफरिंग। योगा थेरेपी में कोशा और योग एज ए सफरिंग कैसे रिलेटेड है सर?
योग एज ए सफरिंग? नहीं, ऐसा तो नहीं है. योग में सफरिंग की तो बात नहीं, सफरिंग को तो ट्रांसेंड करना है. इनफैक्ट योगा इज डिलाइट, सुप्रीम डिलाइट. मे बी समवेयर दिस गॉट रॉन्गली कन्वेड. बट पंचकोशा, यस, वील कम टू दैट एंड वील टेक दिस अप. सो व्हाट पंचकोशा मींस, सी अनफॉर्चुनेटली ये चीज़ों को बिलीफ सिस्टम के रूप में नहीं लेना चाहिए. इसको ऐसे लेना चाहिए कि अब ये जो मेटेरियल वर्ल्ड है, ओके, सो दिस मेटेरियल वर्ल्ड के पीछे क्या है. सो योग ने क्या डिस्कवर किया कि देर आर सटलर एंड सटलर स्टेट्स ऑफ मैटर. तो आज हम कहते भी है ना कि चार स्टेट मैटर की तो अभी हम डिस्कवरी कर चुके हैं कि आयोनाइज्ड मैटर है, उसके बाद ये गैसियस, लिक्विड एंड सॉलिड स्टेट्स हैं. तो एज यू ग्रो सटलर एंड सटलर, यू आर मोर एंड मोर एम्पावर्ड. इट्स लिटरली लाइक, यू नो, लेट मी गिव दैट एग्जाम्पल कि एक इंस्ट्रूमेंट होता है जो बड़ा रिफाइंड है और एक होता है पत्थरों से संगीत निकालना. दोनों चीज हो सकती हैं. तो आप जैसे जैसे इवोल्यूशन के थ्रू आप सटलर, हर एक सटलर स्टेट जो है मैटर का, जो मॉडर्न फिजिक्स भी कोरिलेट कर रही है, उसकी अपनी एक बॉडी है जो हमको सराउंड करती है. तो बिहाइंड दिस फिजिकल बॉडी देयर इज अ सटल बॉडी. नाउ दिस सटल बॉडी इज वेरी सेंसिटिव. इट कैन इवन फोरवार्न अस, फोरकॉशन अस, कोई चीज होने वाली है. कोई व्यक्ति है जिसको कई बार कहते हैं ना सिक्स सेंस, बच्चों में और विमेन में बड़ी इंस्टिंक्टिवली होती है, जो हम खो देते हैं बड़े होके, क्योंकि बहुत ज्यादा माइंड और बाहर ग्रॉस सेंसेस पे रिलाई करते हैं कि नहीं आदमी तो अच्छा है, बट सिक्स सेंस इज टेलिंग यू दैट समथिंग इज अमिस. सो ये जो सटल बॉडी है वो इलनेस को परसीव कर लेती है, वो गुड कॉन्टैक्ट एंड बैड हार्मफुल कॉन्टैक्ट इसको परसीव करती है. फिर सटल बॉडी के पीछे एक और बॉडी है, यही मैटर का एक, जिसको हम कहें कि प्राणकोश. प्राणकोश क्या है? वेयर मैटर इज लार्जली एनर्जी बिगिनिंग टू कंडेंस इनटू मटेरियल फॉर्म. तो एनर्जी बॉडी है, तो वो एनर्जी बॉडी जो है वो इजिली एक्सपैंड कर सकती है, इजिली इधर से उधर ट्रांसफर हो सकती है, बिकॉज इट्स एनर्जी. दैट्स वाई प्राणकोश का जो करेक्टरिस्टिक है वो है टू एक्सपैंड. वायु मातरिश्वान कहते हैं, तुम क्या कर सकते हो? कहते मैं हर चीज को भर सकता हूं, उड़ा सकता हूं, बढ़ा सकता हूं. So that's because energy body does not work within strong physical limits. It has, because it's a body, it has its own kosha. But उसमें हमको अलग तरह से ज्ञान होता है, हमको energies के बारे में पता चलने लगता है, किसी व्यक्ति की, किसी चीज की, और we do sense it. There are places where we do feel. अब ये ज्ञान हमने खो दिया है क्योंकि हम लोग बहुत ज़्यादा gross senses पे rely करते हैं. But don't we feel in certain places as if there is something haunting or there is something sacred? We feel the energy of the place. How do we feel it? Because there is within us an energy body. इसको आप physical senses से explain करना बहुत कठिन है. Similarly, there is a mental body, a world of thoughts and idea which forms a body. और इसका क्या normal life में उदाहरण है? Normal life में ये उदाहरण है कि दो व्यक्ति बड़े अच्छे दोस्त हैं, साथ में husband wife I have seen, और उनके ideas बड़े different हैं. They fight like any, they cannot live together. I have seen people separate over the Russia-Ukraine issue. जो वार के पहले बड़े प्रेम करते थे एक दूसरे को, दोनों मुझे चिट्ठी लिख रहे हैं, अरे हमारा प्रेम तो बड़ा अमर है. और मुझे लगता था कि भैया इतनी जल्दी मत बोलो, कहते ना हमारे यहाँ. और वो जैसे ही ये वार शुरू हुआ, दोनों के डिफरेंट साइड्स थे, they ended up separating. क्योंकि मेंटल बॉडी के अंदर क्लैश शुरू हो गई. इसीलिए इंटेलेक्चुअल कंपेनियनशिप इज वेरी डिफरेंट फ्रॉम फिजिकल अट्रैक्शन और अ वाइटल अट्रैक्शन और अ एक्सचेंज ऑफ फीलिंग्स. सो कई लोगों की ये मेंटल बॉडी जो है, मनोमय कोश, वो बहुत ही स्ट्रांग होता है, इंडिविजुअलाइज्ड होता है, ईगो के साथ ये डेवलप होता है, इसका अपना रोल है. कई लोगों में नहीं होता है, तो वो बड़े कहते हैं ना, वो सजेस्टिबल है, कहीं से कोई सजेशन आता है वो एक्सेप्ट कर लेते हैं, क्योंकि उनकी मेंटल बॉडी वेल फॉर्म्ड नहीं है. तो उस मेंटल बॉडी को शेप देना, फॉर्म देना, ये एजुकेशन का टास्क है. और उसकी शेप भी होती है, सुंदर होती है, विकृत होती है. द पीपल हुज माइंड्स इज सो पॉल्यूटेड कि आप अगर पास में बैठोगे तो आपको महसूस होगा कि किस तरह की के इसके विचार हैं, कितने गंदे हैं. आई एम नॉट यूजिंग इन अ मॉरल सेंस, बट इन अ रियलिस्टिक सेंस. और कुछ लोगों की मेंटल बॉडी इतनी सुंदर होती है कि उनकी कंपनी में ही आपको एक बड़े सौंदर्य का आभास होता है. तो ये सारे, एंड इसके परे जो विज्ञानमय कोश, वो अभी ऑर्गेनाइज नहीं है ह्यूमन बीइंग्स में, होगा एट वन पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम. और एंड देन द आनंदमय कोश. सो द सुपरामेंटल एंड द आनंदमय कोश, दे आर नॉट ऑर्गेनाइज्ड इन ह्यूमन बीइंग्स. ऑर्गेनाइज्ड होता तो हम उसको अभी परसीव करते. अभी मेंटल बॉडी, which is the manome, pranme kosh, vital body and physical, which is the physical body, anname, ye organized hai. Matlab nature ne evolve karke individualized kar di hai. Isliye we are conscious of our thoughts, we are conscious in our, of our desires, of our feelings, and of course we are conscious of the physical movements. But beyond it, some people try to say vigyan mein kosh is higher intellect. That's not true. Vigyan mein kosh is the origin of all things. And the anand mein kosh. Ye abhi evolution ke through honge individual beings mein organized. Agar ye already organized hote, to accessible hote. Easily. Abhi hamare thoughts accessible hain. Uske pare accessible nahi hain. Bahut mehnat karni padti hai ya yog ki process ke through. So there are other ranges of consciousness which we have not yet accessed. We know they exist. How do we know? Some yogis have accessed it. But they could not bring it for everybody. They could not make it available. Yogi ek trance mein chala jata hai, bliss experience karta hai. Aur kehta hai anandoham. Lekin ek ordinary vyakti ke liye wo ek word hai. Wo joy ko anand samajh raha hai. As a doctor, mein, log mujhe kahi baar aise, aray hum toh daru pi ke humko anand aata hai. I said, yes, the difference is, तुमने केवल दारू पी है तो तुमको पता नहीं आनंद क्या है. मैंने ये भी पिया है, वाइन भी पिया है और डिवाइन भी पिया है, तो मुझे मालूम है कि दोनों का डिफरेंस क्या है. सो ये वर्ड्स के साथ ये प्रॉब्लम होती है. ये कोश, ये वर्ड्स हैं, अभी ये रियल नहीं हुए. अभी हमें नहीं पता हमारा मनोमय कोश कैसा है. वी शुड लर्न टू मेक आवर मनोमय कोश सॉलिड. अगर कोई रियली मनोमय कोश को सॉलिड बना ले जिसके अंदर कोई नेगेटिव थॉट नहीं आए, तो ही विल वॉक लाइक अ जनरल. मतलब उसको कई चीजें अफेक्ट नहीं करेंगी ऑटोमेटिकली. तो ये कोश को हम शेप कर सकते हैं. एजुकेशन का पर्पस यही है. दे डोंट यूज दिस वर्ड बिकॉज दिस इज योगिक टर्मिनोलॉजी. वी डोंट नीड टू यूज वर्ड्स और बिकम ए स्लेव टू वर्ड्स. बट इट मीन्स दैट हमारी, हम फिजिकल बॉडी का तो ध्यान देते हैं, हमको अपनी वाइटल और मेंटल बॉडी का भी वैसा ध्यान देना चाहिए. ये बेढंगे ना रह जाए. और इसीलिए आप देखिए लॉन्ग टर्म रिलेशनशिप में क्या हेल्प करता है. इट्स नॉट द फिजिकल विच कीप चेंजिंग, बट आपके जो वाइटल बॉडी, आप कैसे अब सहिष्णु है कि नहीं है, आपके अंदर केयर कंपैशन कैसा है, ये सब वाइटल बॉडी का प्राण में कोश का हिस्सा है. आपके विचार कैसे हैं, कई बार हम कहते हैं हमारे विचार मिलते हैं कि नहीं मिलते हैं, तो वो मनोमय कोश का हिस्सा है. सो दैट इज हाउ वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड एंड थ्रू एजुकेशन वी कैन ऑर्गेनाइज देम वेल, वी कैन शेप देम एंड देर इज समथिंग स्टिल हायर विच इज द सुप्रामेंटल एंड द ब्लिस बॉडी. इट विल ऑल्सो become part of our natural endowment. Right now it is not. Nahi to hum janam se hi hum sab aware hote divine consciousness ke prati. We are not. Because hum abhi ye teen kosh lekar ke aate hain. Par evolution ke through ek din ye normal ho jayega. Bade young age mein we'll become aware of that greater reality. Ye already ho rahi hai process. That's why aap sab log engaged ho aur in cheezon pe sun bhi rahe ho bina soye hue. Hopefully, और क्वेश्चन भी कर रहे हो बिकॉज अब ये नेक्स्ट इवोल्यूशन का फेज शुरू हो गया है और सुप्रामेंटल बॉडी अब ऑर्गेनाइज करना प्रारंभ कर रही है ह्यूमन बींग्स में.
सर, आई हैव अ क्वेश्चन इन रिलेशन टू व्हाट यू जस्ट सेड. आपने बोला अगर किसी का मनु में कोश अच्छे से डेवलप नहीं है, फॉर्म नहीं है, तो वो कहीं से भी सजेशन ले लेते हैं, कुछ भी कर लेते हैं. बट अगर मनु में कोश बहुत सॉलिड है तो उनकी थॉट से रिफ्लेक्ट होता है. बट क्या अगर मनु में कोश बहुत सॉलिड हो जाए, बहुत प्रॉपरली फॉर्म हो जाए, तो वो ईगो का भी फॉर्म?
एब्सोल्युटली, एब्सोल्युटली. सो इसीलिए, हाँ, तो इसीलिए इसके तीन स्टेजेस हैं ह्यूमन बीइंग के डेवलपमेंट के. एक, जब वो प्राण में और मनोमय कोश में रहता है, जिसको हम कहते हैं प्राण चिन्ह में, तो ऐसे लोग दे आर लाइक क्या बोले, प्लास्टिसिन. इधर भी मोल्ड हो गया, उधर भी हो गया, इधर भेड़ चाल जिसको कहते हैं, भेड़ चाल प्राण में कोश. फिर इंडिविजुअलाइजेशन होता है मनोमय कोश के द्वारा. अब ये एक प्रोसेस है इवोल्यूशन की. इसके फ्लिप साइड है, एज यू राइटली सेड, कि ऐसे लोग बड़े रिजिड हो जाते हैं कई बार अपने आइडिया से. अब अगर आइडिया सुंदर हैं तो ठीक है, लेकिन उसमें भी प्रॉब्लम है. आपके आइडिया बड़े सुंदर होंगे बट आप चाहते हो उसको इम्पोज करो सब पर, तो उसकी प्रॉब्लम होती है. तो सॉल्यूशन क्या है? इवोल्यूशन ऑलवेज गोज अपवर्ड. अब आपको इस मनोमय कोश से नेक्स्ट लेवल पे जाना है, इनटू द हायर स्पिरिचुअल सुप्रामेंटल एंड द साइकिक रियल्म्स. सो अब इसको मैं इस तरह से कह रहा था कि जो गीता का जो उपमा थी, आपका मनोमय कोश बड़ा सुंदर है, वो लगाम खींच करके सेंसेस को कंट्रोल कर रहा है. तो नेक्स्ट लेवल क्या है? बुद्धि. पर बुद्धि भी एंड नहीं है. जो बुद्धि के द्वारा रहते हैं, इंटेलेक्ट के द्वारा, वो हर चीज में यही देखते हैं. कई बार वो अपने इमोशंस की जगह नहीं होती है, डीपर इमोशंस की, हर चीज बुद्धि के मापदंड से. तो उसके ऊपर क्या है, द डिवाइन सेल्फ. सो द माइंड सरेंडरिंग इट सेल्फ टू द डिवाइन, जो आप गीता के एंड में देखते हैं, मन मना भव मद भक्ता मध्याजी माम नमस्करो सर्वधर्मान परित्यज्या मामेकम शरणम रजा अहम त्वा सर्व पापेभ्यो मोक्षिष्यामि मा शुचा. सो माइंड आफ्टर इंडिविजुअलाइजेशन इट इज अ इंपॉर्टेंट स्टेप, उसके बिना आप नेक्स्ट स्टेप पे नहीं जा सकते हो. तो ये चल रहा है आज के समय में, बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट है. उसके बाद इस माइंड को आप सरेंडर करते हो डिवाइन को, तब वो डिवाइन क्वालिटीज, डिवाइन पॉसिबिलिटीज, डिवाइन की फ्रेग्रेंस, वो सारी आती हैं. और ऐसा व्यक्ति, उसके अंदर धर्म का निवास होता है, वो रिजिड नहीं हो सकता. वो हर चीज़ के अंदर जानता है कि डिवाइन कॉन्शियसनेस क्या चाहती है, उसकी डिमांड क्या है, जो एक फिक्स्ड फॉर्मेट नहीं है डिवाइन का. तो हर किसी के अंदर कैसे, वो हर चीज़ का अपना धर्म है. तो वो इस चीज़ को जानता है कि पेड़ों का अपना धर्म है, बच्चे का अपना धर्म है. वो हम लोगों के यहाँ ये नॉलेज थी, एक एडोलेसेंस में अगर आप क्वेश्चन ना करो फॉर एग्जाम्पल, तो लगेगा कि भाई ये क्या बात है, तुम्हें तो क्वेश्चन करने चाहिए. ये एडोलेसेंट का धर्म है, तो रिजिडली इम्पोज नहीं करेगा, मनोमय कोश वाला करेगा. बात सुनो, बड़े हैं हम जानते हैं, पर जो धर्म से स्थित है वो कहेगा यस योर क्वेश्चनिंग इज राइट. वो उसी रास्ते से गुजरा है. फिर जब आप एडल्ट होते हो तो मनोमय कोश अपनी पूरी प्रखरता पर है, देन यू गो टू द नेक्स्ट लेवल, जहां पर आप स्पिरिचुअल कॉन्शियसनेस की तरफ, और वो मनोमय कोश अब जो सुंदर है और सुदृढ़ है, इट बिकम्स ए ब्यूटिफुल इंस्ट्रूमेंट ऑफ द डिवाइन इन द वर्ल्ड. तो ये प्रोसेस है, ही इज टू इवॉल्व नेक्स्ट स्टेप. बट ये आप उस व्यक्ति को नहीं कह सकते हो जो बड़ा रिजिड है. वो कहेगा छोड़ो मुझे, बड़ी बड़ी बातें मत बताओ. पर खुद के लिए ये प्रिंसिपल है, यू कांट चेंज एनीबॉडी. खुद को, कि हमारे मन को पहले आप सुदृढ़ करें, इंडिविजुअलाइज करें, लेकिन साथ साथ ये जाने कि मन के परे भी कुछ है. मन सस्तु परा, वो जो बात आती है, और उसकी तरफ जाएं. उसको गॉड कहें, डिवाइन कहें, क्रिएटर कहें, कोई गुरु कहें, या देवता का नाम दें, दैट डजंट मैटर फॉर द मोमेंट, बट मूव टूवर्ड्स दैट, देन द रेस्ट विल हैपन. जैसे जैसे आप चेंज होगे, दूसरों के अंदर ये चेंज प्रेसिपिटेट कर सकते हो.
फरीहा मैम ने पूछा है, हाउ डज योगा हेल्प इन डीलिंग विद कांस्टेंट नेगेटिव थॉट्स?
सो यही है कि हमारी योग, जब हम अंदर जाते हैं तो डिस्कवर करते हैं कि हमारा कमरा कितना गंदा है टू स्टार्ट विथ. इट्स वेरी डिसकंसर्टिंग. बट फिर आप झाड़ू लेते हो सफाई करने, तो झाड़ू कौन सी है, वो जल कौन सा है. यही है कि बियॉन्ड द माइंड, योगा टेक्स यू बियॉन्ड द माइंड. और इसकी एक स्टोरी है हमारे ग्रीक मिथोलॉजी में है. तो ग्रीक मिथोलॉजी में स्टोरी ऐसे है कि हरकुलिस के को 7 काम दिए गए थे, कुछ लोग हेरेक्लिस भी कहते हैं. वो ये जो हरकुलिस है उसको 7 काम दिए थे, उसमें एक था क्लीनिंग द एजियन स्टेबल. एजियन स्टेबल यानी वो जो शहर है उसमें राजा के 1000 घोड़े थे, और घोड़ों का जो घुड़साल था उसको कहा इसको तुम साफ करो. अब 1000 घोड़े होंगे तो जब तक पहले घोड़े से 10वें घोड़े तक जाएगा वो गंदा करना शुरू कर देगा, 1000वें घोड़े तक जाएगा तो पहला तो पक्का गंदा करेगा. तो कहते हैं कि तुम्हें ऐसे क्लीन करना है कि सारे क्लीन हो जाएं. तो कैसे करेगा, तो उसने अपनी बुद्धि लगाता है. बुद्धि कैसे लगाता है, पास में एक नदी है तो वो नदी को मोड़ देता है धारा इधर, तो वो बांध नदी को मोड़ता है और बांध बना लेता है. तो वो क्या करता है, बांध को रिलीज करता है एक फिक्स टाइम पर, तो पूरा नदी का पानी आता है और एक साथ 1000 घोड़ों के डर्ट को क्लीन कर देता है. तो बेसिकली वी हैव टू टर्न टू हायर कॉन्शियसनेस, जिसकी गंगा, जो गंगा यमुना सरस्वती यही सब ऊपर है ना हमारे, तो नदियां तो उनके रेप्लिका हैं. तो वो जो गंगा है जो ऊपर से उनका अवतरण होता है, शुद्ध कर देती है हमारे चित्त को, अंतःकरण को, मन को. वरना मन से, मन को लड़ने से क्या होता है कि इट इज एन इंटरमिनेबल फाइट. आप 5 मिनट पॉजिटिव थॉट आते हैं, किसी की कंपनी में बड़ा अच्छा लगता है, पर आपके अंदर तो वो खुली नहीं है ना, टैप खुला नहीं है. तो इट्स लाइक आप किसी घर में गए, एक बाल्टी पानी घर में ले आए, नहा लिए, लेकिन आपको तो अल्टीमेटली अपना कनेक्शन लगाना है. कितनी बार करेंगे, घर तो आपका वही है. तो इसलिए कुछ लोग इसलिए ऐसे लोगों के संपर्क में, गुरुग्रह वास वो भी ठीक है, लेकिन एट सम पॉइंट यू हैव टू लीड योर ओन लाइफ. सो यू हैव टू ओपन द टैप ऑफ द गंगा इनसाइड, और वो भगवान के स्पर्श से डिवाइन के टच से आता है. आई लव टू यूज दिस वर्ड बिकॉज डिवाइन यू मे कॉल इट ग्रेटर कॉन्शियसनेस, मुझे बड़ा इम्पर्सनल लगता है. बट उस ग्रेटर कॉन्शियसनेस में वो ऑटोमेटिक उसकी क्वालिटी यही है. जैसे गंगा ऊपर से जब गोमुख से गिरती हुई जब तक गंगा सागर तक आती है तो गंदी होती जाती हैं, तो आपको अगर प्योर गंगा जल चाहिए तो आप गोमुख में जाके लोगे, उससे भी प्योर चाहिए तो आप शिवजी की जटा के पास पहुंचोगे, प्रभु हमें दे दो. उससे भी प्योर चाहिए तो आप ब्रह्मा के कमंडलों में जाओगे जहां गंगा, उससे भी प्योर चाहिए तो विष्णु भगवान के हृदय जिसमें से गंगा निकलती है. तो अब वो तो अपनी सीमा है कि किस लेवल की प्योरिटी हम ला सकते हैं. लेकिन अगर हम गोमुख तक भी चले जाएं, यानी अपनी चेतना के ही शीर्ष तक चले जाएं, तो वहां से वो प्योरिफाइंग गैंजेस वो आती है, तो नेगेटिविटी को अपने आप हट जाती है. बाकी सारे तरीके, उपाय, स्टैंड बैक, वॉच, एटीट्यूड, ट्राई टू चेंज आर वेरी मच, इट्स लिटरली हरकुलियन टास्क. तो वी शुड फॉलो द वे ऑफ हरकुलिस, क्योंकि सुनने में तो बड़ा अच्छा लगता है, पॉजिटिव थिंकिंग. सब कहते हैं किताबें बड़ी भरी पड़ी हैं, पर कोई इन्हें बताया कि कोई फॉर्मूला तो बताओ. सबको पता है भाई, कई बार लोग इरिटेटेड होते हैं, कहते हमको पता है पॉजिटिव सोचना चाहिए, होता नहीं हमसे. इसलिए नहीं होता है क्योंकि हमने सोर्स पे टच नहीं किया है. सोर्स तो भगवान है. एक लाइन में कह दूं अगर, चूंकि हाँ सोर्स तो भगवान है, उससे मुझे याद आ गई एक लाइन तुलसीदास की, जिन चरणन से निकसी सुरसरी शंकर जटा समाही, उन चरणन, उन चरणों की भक्ति प्योरीफाई करती. ये तो केवट का फॉर्मूला यही था ना, कि ये तो नारायण है जिनके चरणों से सुरसरी निकली है. सुरसरी इज ए नेम फॉर द गैंजेस. शंकर जटा समाही, तो उन चरण को ही अगर आप धोने लगोगे, पकड़ लोगे, तो अनेकों गंगाएं, सहस्र गंगाएं आपके अंदर अपने आप उतर जाएंगी.
बहुत सुंदर सर. अगला क्वेश्चन है खुशी का. हाउ कैन समवन हु वर्क्स ए डेस्क जॉब एंड हैज अ लॉन्ग कम्यूट मेक द टाइम फॉर योगा प्रैक्टिस ड्यूरिंग देयर वर्क वीक? व्हाट आर सम रियलिस्टिक टिप फॉर फिटिंग इन योगा सेशन व्हेन यू हैव अ बिजी मॉडर्न लाइफस्टाइल विद लॉन्ग आवर्स अवे फ्रॉम होम?
सो एग्जैक्टली दिस इज एग्जैक्टली व्हाट आई वाज ट्राइंग टू से, कि this is a misconception about yoga that there are some special practices through which it can be done. Now, special practices are there, I am not denying it. But I started by saying that is still the surfaces of yoga. Yoga has to be done in life while going through life. You don't need a separate time. Yogi does not do different things from what others are doing. Yogi does the same thing differently. So this change of consciousness has to be within the range of life, and life offers 101 opportunities for doing the same. So how to do it? The whole Gita is there as an answer. So I would strongly suggest, what I have told is just certain things of the Gita, but if you want to put it practically, kya karna hai? Well, one practice which we should do it all the time is remember and offer. Start your day with a one word remembrance of the divine. You can simply say be with me. Don't think of slok ki bhai sanskrit wala slok main bhul gaya abhi kaun si prayer padu. Maa mere saath rehna, Krishna, please be with me. Just do it. He is wonderful, friend of friends. That's how he is described. To wo hamare saath hai har samay. Aap snan karne ja rahe ho. Just ye jo jharna pani gir raha hai, ye mere andar ki cheezon ko समाप्त कर दे, जितने भी दुर्गुण हैं, हे प्रभु आप इस पानी में आ जाना. देखिए आपको कितना सुख मिलेगा. तैयार हो रहे हो मिरर में, आई होप आई एम लुकिंग राइट माँ या कृष्णा, व्हिचएवर वे. एंड देन बिफोर यू स्टार्ट ए वर्क, व्हेन यू एंड द वर्क, इन बिटवीन एक घड़ी या दो घड़ी, आधो में पुनियाद, तुलसी संगति साधु की हरे कोटि अपराध. संगति कौन सी है? भगवान की कंपनी. सो जब थोड़ा समय मिलता है, इतना तो मिलता ही है काम के बिजी में, एक क्लाइंट और दूसरे क्लाइंट के बीच में टाइम मिल जाता है, और अंदर करना है, कोई बाहर नहीं करना है कि आपने हाथ जोड़े बोले रुको कुछ मिनट अब मैं हरिओम बोलूंगा. डोंट डू ऑल दैट, इट विल फ्राइटन पीपल. आपको कुछ नहीं करना है, अंदर ही अंदर मुस्कुराते हुए कृष्णा दिस इज फॉर यू. अंदर में आपने कह दिया, क्लाइंट आया, अब वो दुनिया के लिए क्लाइंट है, आपके लिए वो भगवान है. इसका मतलब होता है अतिथि देवो भवा, नॉट द वे वी यू नो. तो आया आपका, आप चले गए, आपके अंदर मुस्कान है क्योंकि फॉर यू यू हैव सर्व्ड कृष्णा. फिर दूसरा आया, इस बीच में भी आपकी एक थोड़ी सांठ गांठ हो गई. फिर आप घर आ रहे हो कि आप मुझे थोड़ी देर तो मिलेंगे आपके साथ चैन से बैठने के लिए. तो व्हेन यू आर एंगेजिंग इन मेडिटेशन यू आर कंटिन्यूइंग विद व्हाट यू हैव बीन डूइंग होल डे, एंड व्हेन यू आर गोइंग फॉर एक्टिविटी यू आर कंटिन्यूइंग व्हाट यू डिड इन मेडिटेशन. मेडिटेशन शुड नॉट बी एन एक्टिविटी कट ऑफ फ्रॉम लाइफ, इट शुड बी अ स्टेट, निरंतरता. फिर आप थोड़ी देर बैठे, अब आपको बड़ा अच्छा है कि अरे जिसके साथ मैं सारे दिन हाय हेलो करता रहा था. ऐसी कहानी है वास्तव में श्री कृष्ण जी की, कि उनके बड़े डिवोटी आते हैं, उसे एक पूरा एक डांस फॉर्म निकला है, मैं भूल रहा हूँ, कथक का एक डांस फॉर्म है. तो उनकी बड़ी फेमस डिवोटी हैं, तो वो बहुत प्यार करती हैं कृष्ण को, तो वो तो बस आ जाती हैं वहाँ, देखती रहती हैं. और कृष्ण जी बाकी सारे डिवोटी हैं उनको वो देख रहे हैं, ब्लेस कर रहे हैं, फिर उनकी आंखों के कोने से वो उसको देख रहे हैं, हु लव्स हिम, एंड ही इज वेटिंग कि कब ये मंदिर के द्वार बंद हो एंड आई कैन बी इन कॉन्टेक्ट विद माई डिवोटी. तो ये भक्ति का एक रूप है जिसमें आप निरंतरता बनी हुई है. शॉर्टकट तो भक्ति ही होती है, वेदर वी लाइक इट नॉट. और फिर आप कुछ समय जब मिलते हैं तो इट शुड बी ए मोमेंट ऑफ जॉय, नॉट ए टेक्निक. अच्छा हम ठीक से बैठे हैं कि नहीं, हमारी सांस पर कंट्रोल है कि नहीं. आप किसी को प्यार करते हो, आप उस समय सांस को देखोगे कंट्रोल कर रहे हो कि उस समय आप निर्बाध बह जाओगे भगवान के अंदर. तो ऐसे हमको अपनी स्टेट डेवलप करनी, इट टेक्स टाइम आई अंडरस्टैंड, बट इफ यू प्रैक्टिस इट. सोने जा रहे हो, पिलो कोई बना लो, भगवान की गोद है. भगवान ने तो ऐसा नहीं कहा कि नहीं नहीं मैं पिलो में नहीं हूं, वो तो कहते मैं सब में हूं. वो तो ऐसा नहीं कह रहे कि मैं पिलो में नहीं हूं, ये बेकार की बात मत करो, इसका योग से कोई लेना देना नहीं है. वो तो कह रहे मैं सब में हूं. मीरा अगर जहर के प्याले को प्रसाद बना सकती हैं, तो हम जो नॉर्मल फूड है उसको तो प्रसाद बना ही सकते हैं ना, कि भगवान मैं खा रहा हूं आप चख लेना. दो क्षण, उनको टाइम नहीं लगता है, उनको कोई बहुत मंत्र वंत्र नहीं सुनने होते हैं. है मंत्र तो कह दो, ब्रह्मैव ब्रह्मार्पणो, वांट टू यूज इट्स ओके, बट व्हेन यू ऑफर इट, क्या कहते हैं श्री कृष्ण गीता में, पत्रम पुष्पम फलम तोयम, एक पत्ता एक फूल पानी की एक बूंद भी जो मुझे अर्पण करता है मैं उसको ग्रहण करता हूं. अब आपने जो पानी पिया कृष्ण जी का झूठा पिया, सोचो कितना मजा आया. लिव लाइफ विद गॉड, डोंट रन अवे फ्रॉम लाइफ, डोंट शन लाइफ. वी डोंट हैव टू डू एनीथिंग स्पेशल एज ए प्रैक्टिस. वेल इफ वन वांट्स टू टेक द लॉन्ग रूट इट्स ओके, बट दिस इज व्हाट इट इज, to form a living relation with the divine, not a mechanical, technical relation.
तो जाना है कि जो तीनों लेवल आपने बताए evolution के, step one, step two, step three, कुछ example के साथ अगर आप बता सकें ताकि वो अपने day to day life में उसको incorporate.
हाँ, so एक होता है physical level का जो मैं I understand physical, vital, mental, ये तीन चीजों की बात, या sensory, mind, बुद्धि, जिस तरह से भी हम ले. तो फिजिकल लेवल के कर्म कौन से होते हैं जो बड़े हैबिचुअल मैकेनिकल है. सुबह उठे, हमारे नित्य कर्म हुए, स्नान किया, ये फिजिकल कॉन्शियसनेस ऑपरेट कर रही है. यानी तीन लेवल हैं कॉन्शियसनेस के. फिर ये जो कॉन्शियसनेस ऑपरेट कर रही है इसके अंदर जब डिजायर का समावेश मान लो हुआ, तो डिजायर क्या कहता है कि हमको ये करना है, लेकिन किस लिए करना है, ताकि हम बाहर बड़े अच्छे दिखें. डिजायर क्यों, अगर हम प्लेजेंट अपीयरेंस होगा, अपीयरेंस बाय द वे प्लेजेंट होना चाहिए, तो हम इंप्रेस करेंगे लोगों को. इम्प्रेस क्यों करेंगे, इससे हमारी प्रमोशन होगी. नाउ आई कैन यू कैन गो एंडलेसली इनटू द नेट ऑफ डिजायर. तो ये हो गया हमारा वाइटल, प्राणमय कोश अभी एक्टिवेट हो गया है, जो हमारे अन्नमय कोश को गवर्न कर रहा है. उसकी प्रॉब्लम फ्लिप साइड ये है कि वो फिर हमको हमेशा प्लेजर ड्राइव में ले जाता है. खाना भी अगर हम खाएंगे तो हेल्दी नहीं, हम प्लेजर के लिए खाएंगे. तो इस प्रकार से वो हमको मिसगाइड करने लगता है. इट्स लाइक हमको वट एवर आई गेट प्लेजर इन ओनली दैट आई विल डू. I start the people become very afraid of suffering, and they, you know, not that one should love suffering, but suffering comes in life as part of it. फिर मनोमय कोश जब उसमें आएगा तो मनोमय क्या कहेगा कि नहीं हमको सुंदर दिखना है, लेकिन ये चीज जो मैं यूज कर रहा हूं ये हार्मफुल है. मनोमय कोश में भी इग्नोरेंस है. आई हैव टू अपियर नाइस, बट एट द सेम टाइम इट शुड नॉट जस्ट बी एन अपियरेंस, बिकॉज somebody who is carried away just by appearance, I may be fooled by that. तो अब ये मनोमय कोश हमारा एक्टिव हो गया. तो मनोमय कोश हमको डायरेक्शन दे रहा है, प्राण को थोड़ा मॉडरेशन की ओर ले जा रहा है, यानी तम और रज सत्व गुण। सत्व गुण क्या करता है, वो बैलेंस करता है चीजों को, हार्मोनाइज करता है। वो ये नहीं कि केवल प्राण में बह जाओ, डिजायर है तो डिजायर में बह जाओ। तो जहां पर मन इंटेलेक्ट बुद्धि एक्टिव होकर के चीजों को चुन रही है, प्राण को ट्रिम कर रही है, घोड़ों पे लगाम लगा रही है, रोक नहीं रही है, चल रहे हैं घोड़े पर उनको दिशा दे रही है, तो वहां मनोमय कोश एक्टिव है। पर मन भी इग्नोरेंस में है, उसके परे हमको हायर स्पिरिचुअल कॉन्शियसनेस की तरफ जाना है, ताकि हमको दिशा ज्ञान भी हो, दिशा भ्रमित ना हो, एक नई ऊर्जा आए। सो टर्निंग टू द स्पिरिचुअल कॉन्शियसनेस मीन्स कि अभी हम फ्यूल, हमारा फ्यूल जो है डिजायर का फ्यूल है, मन प्राण में कोश के पास वही फ्यूल है। आप उससे बोलोगे मुझे हायर फ्यूल चाहिए, कहते नहीं भाई हमारे यहाँ अवेलेबल नहीं है। तो डिजायर के फ्यूल से क्या होता है, वो गाड़ी को जंप स्टार्ट देता है और बहुत धुआं छोड़ता है, पुराने समय के जो कोल इंजन थे और स्टीम इंजन थे। तो आपको शुरू में तो बड़ा मजा आया, किक लगा, फिर वो धीरे धीरे आपका दम घुटने लगता है, वो एक प्रकार की एडिक्शन हो जाती है। ऑल डिजायर्स अल्टीमेटली लीड टू एडिक्शन, चाहे वो खाने का हो, कपड़ों का हो, किसी चीज का हो। हम वर्ड अच्छा यूज करते हैं शौक, पर अब होता तो वो ये ना कि आप डिजायर सबसे ड्रिवेन हो रहे हो प्राण में कोश, तो आप चाहोगे और मैं सेटिस्फाई करूं। सो यू वांट टू अर्न मोर वेल्थ, सो व्हेन यू वांट टू अर्न मोर वेल्थ व्हाट यू विल डू, बाय हुक और बाय क्रुक, बिकॉज अब वो आपकी डिजायर आपकी नीड बन गई है। पर अगर कोई मनोमय कोश जो सात्विक भाव से रहेगा तो वो कहेगा नहीं, आई विल एंजॉय डिजायर, बट मेरी डिजायर मॉडरेशन में होनी चाहिए। तो वो क्या बोलेगा, उतने पांव चादर उतनी फैलानी चाहिए, पांव उतने फैलाने चाहिए जितनी बड़ी चादर है। ऑटोमेटिकली आपका मनोमय कोश समझाएगा, तो वहां से जो सात्विक भाव से जिएंगे वो ईविल टेंडेंसीज की तरफ नहीं जाएंगे। जो केवल डिजायर कोश से ड्रिवेन है, प्राणमय कोश का ये जो डिजायर है या फीलिंग्स की जो रश है, तो दे एंड अप मेसिंग देयर लाइफ एंड दे एंड अप समटाइम्स डूइंग थिंग्स विच आर ऑफ ए वेरी विकेड नेचर। सी हेट स्टोरी का एसेंस क्या है, प्यार है जो हेट में टर्न हो जाता है, क्यों, क्योंकि डिजायर सेल्फ है, इसलिए वो प्यार हेट में टर्न हो जाता है। अगर माइंड एक्टिव होता तो कम से कम हेट नहीं आता, उतना स्ट्रांग प्यार भी शायद नहीं होता। बट अगर स्पिरिचुअल कॉन्शियसनेस है तो प्यार रहेगा, सुंदर रहेगा, इंटेंस रहेगा, सतत रहेगा, सदैव रहेगा। तो ये प्रैक्टिकल एग्जाम्पल्स हैं जीवन में, हर चीज के साथ हम कॉन्शियसली डील करेंगे, विच मेक्स ए वर्ल्ड ऑफ डिफरेंस। एक मेरी दोज आई नो क्वेश्चंस आर एंडलेस एंड क्वेश्चंस आर ऑलवेज ए वेरी गुड साइन। सो मेरी आई थिंक मेरा व्हाट्सएप नंबर डॉक्टर नेहा के पास है एंड ईमेल भी है, सो यू कैन शेयर इट विद दोज एनीबडी इंटरेस्टेड। ओनली थिंग इज कि आई डोंट टेक कॉल्स जनरली, बट येस व्हाट्सएप यू आर मोस्ट वेलकम टू राइट एंड क्वेरीज। ओके, so most welcome to write any query, doesn't matter, and email is also there, feel free to write and I'll be happy to respond.
Sir, main jaanna cha rahe hain ki there are so many books on Gita, so which one of you recommended so that the beginners can also understand?
Okay, so my favorite, now I have read before टर्निंग टू शोरबिंदो, आई रेड फर्स्ट बुक आई रेड वॉज तिलक जी की, जो मेरे घर में थी, अच्छी किताब है, इंटेलेक्चुअल एनालिसिस पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू से बड़ी अच्छी किताब है, जो इंटेलेक्चुअली ओरिएंटेड है, अच्छी उनकी स्टडी है। फिर मैंने राधा कृष्णन जी की और गांधी जी की पढ़ी, वो आई वुड स्ट्रांगली सजेस्ट कीप इट असाइड, इट इज़ नॉट बॉर्न आउट ऑफ एक्सपीरियंस। तिलक के अंदर केवल इंटेलेक्ट नहीं था, कहीं वो टच है किसी चीज़ रियल का। फिर इनकी है जो भक्ति मार्ग से प्रभुपाद जी की, अब वो एक प्राइमरीली भक्ति मार्ग का रूट ले लेती है, चिन्मयानंद जी की भी है। सो ये सब पढ़ने के बाद जो मेरी अपनी फेवरेट है एसेज ऑन द गीता है। सो अब एसेज ऑन द गीता के साथ अगर कोई द गीता के श्लोक के साथ अच्छा कॉम्बिनेशन चाहते हैं, तो एक अनिल बरन जिन्होंने आश्रम में थे, उन्होंने श्लोक के साथ उसका अनुवाद भी है, प्लस उन्होंने शोरबिंदो के जो कोर आइडियाज हैं, जो इजी टू रिसीव हैं, वो दिए हुए हैं, तो वो भी हैं। एंड एट द रिस्क ऑफ साउंडिंग, सो मेरी भी कुछ कई टॉक्स हैं ऑरोमा पे, उसमें गीता पर एक पूरी आई थिंक 10 या 15 टॉक्स की सीरीज हैं, 10 टॉक्स की सीरीज हैं, कई टॉक्स हैं हिंदी और इंग्लिश में, पर एक तो पूरी सीरीज है और एक जो चल रही है। तो यू आर मोस्ट वेलकम, इट्स ए फ्री टू डाउनलोड एंड फ्री टू हियर, aroma.org, aroma.org, aroma.org। सो एक और हम लोगों ने एक साइट शुरू हुई है आस्क अलोकदा, ऐसे क्वेश्चन, तो इफ यू हैव एनी क्वेश्चन यू कैन डायरेक्टली गो टू दैट साइट एंड ऑल्सो आस्क। askalokda, askalokda. So .org. So you are most welcome. Any of these means, I'll be happy to respond. Gorakhpur ki Gita, usme problem hai ki, that is the, of course, not Tilak, that was the first book that I came across as a child, but wo concept, wo bas shabdik arth hai. To wo Gita bhi kehti hai, shabd brahmati vartate, don't get lost in the maze of words. And you know, you will read it as a kind of, as a belief. But usme kai cheeze hai jo ajeeb lagengi, chaturvand, etc. Unless you really go into its depth, it will sound outdated. Some things will appear too devotional. And you know, they won't be able to convey ki kaise wo gaye, hathi aur kanchan aur usko equanimity se dekhne ka kya arth hai. So always it's good to have a little commentary, and that's why I was recommending. Otherwise Gita Press Gorakhpur ab to shayad band ho gayi thi. Gita Press, it started, at least shabdik arth usme pure hai. But I would recommend Anil Barans, ashram se uplabdh hai wo. दूसरा प्रश्न कौन सा है?
Really so good. Sir, I wanted to ask कि मैंने एक कहीं पे एक आर्टिकल पढ़ा था कि योगा एवॉल्व करते करते सेम नहीं रही है जो पहले थी.
बिल्कुल बिल्कुल
बदल गई है. I mean, ये आगे भी जाके देख सकते हैं सर?
हाँ बिल्कुल, बहुत सुंदर ये तुमने पॉइंट उठाया. ये I have also written on it and spoken about it. अब हठयोग देखो, हठयोग जो लेमोरियन किंग्स का होता था, वो हठयोग ये तो है नहीं जो अब हम करते हैं. वो हठयोग, एक हठयोगी को मैं बेंगलोर में जानता हूँ, वो सूर्य नमस्कार 8 घंटे करता था. ये हठयोग थोड़ी है जो अभी हम करते हैं. वो जो ध्रुव ने बैठ करके वो अटल, ये हठयोग था ओरिजिनल. फिर राजयोग, रावण हैज डन दैट काइंड ऑफ प्रैक्टिस, माइंड कंट्रोल कोशिश की. तो अब जैसे जैसे ह्यूमैनिटी इवॉल्व हुई है, सटल हुई है. अब इसको देखो, वैदिक काल का जो योग है वो फायर सेक्रीफाइस ये सब करते थे, अग्नि जला करके. अब एसेंस तो उसका ठीक है, एसेंस क्या है, एस्पिरेशन है टुवर्ड दैट ग्रेटर ट्रूथ. एसेंस तो हमेशा रहा है, लेकिन जो मेथड अप्लाई किया है ये चेंज हुआ है. जैसे जैसे ह्यूमन कॉन्शियसनेस सटल होती गई है. अब गीता जिसको, जिसके श्री कृष्ण को योग योगेश्वर कहते हैं, अब अगर आप गीता को देखें तो वो लार्जली साइकोलॉजिकल हो जाती है. पर अगर आप पतंजलि के योग सूत्र देखें तो उसमें जितने यम नियम हैं, आप एक एक केवल यम या नियम फॉलो करना इज ए लाइफ टाइम साधना. सो ये जो द होल प्रयोजन हैज बीन, एज मैन हैज इवॉल्व हैज बिकम अवेयर ऑफ हिज सब्जेक्टिव बीइंग, योगा इज गिवन बाय डिवाइन. सो इट द डिवाइन हैज एंश्योर्ड कि उसके अंदर से न्यू मेथड्स निकले. इट्स ट्रू ऑफ एवरीथिंग. इट्स ट्रू ऑफ फिजिक्स इवॉल्विंग फ्रॉम ए सिंपल साइकिल to, you know, the flying things. So yoga over a period of time has changed from body centered to breath centered to mind centered to spirituality and soul centered and to finally divine centered. So in the highest yoga, you are aware that divine does the yoga and you have to just open and receive it. So, अगर जो लोग बड़े टेक्निक मेथड की बात, उनको तो बड़ी प्रॉब्लम होती है जब श्री कृष्ण ये कहते हैं मन मनाभव मद भक्ता मद्याजी मनमस करो सर्वधर्मान परित्यजा. ऑफ कोर्स वो एंड में बताते हैं, लेकिन उसमें सरेंडर की इतनी बात है. दिस सो मच ऑफ सरेंडर इन द गीता. सो जैसे जैसे अब चूंकि ह्यूमन बींग्स अलग लेवल्स पर हैं, अभी भी स्टेजेस ऑफ इवोल्यूशन तो हैं, इसलिए सबको सेम योगा नहीं कहा जा सकता. जो बहुत से लोग हैं जो देह चिन्ह में हैं, they are conscious only in the body to an extent. तो उनके लिए हठ योग works very well. Breath उनको ये सरल लगता है. उनको अगर कहा जाए कि psychological manipulation करो, there is a subjective space, तो उनको कठिनाई होती है. Human beings are at different stages of evolution. But highest तो फिर वही है कि शरणागति और समर्पण. जब आप पूरा trust है, absolute faith है divine के अंदर, प्रेम जाग गया है, तो उससे बड़ी तो कोई चीज है ही नहीं. सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई. अब सूरदास ने कौन सा योगा किया था, मेरा ने कौन सा योग किया था. तो एज वी ग्रो, यस इट इज इवॉल्व. जैसे अब आप उपनिषदों के टाइम में भक्ति की वो धारा नहीं देखोगे जैसी पोस्ट श्री कृष्णा कम्स. तो एज ह्यूमैनिटी इज इवॉल्व, बिकम मोर कॉन्शियस, योगा इज ऑल्सो इवॉल्व. बट इट डज नॉट मीन इट कैंसल्स द अदर थिंग्स. दे आर मोर डिफिकल्ट प्रोसेसेस, frankly speaking, physical and breath yoga is far more difficult if you do it truly, and the results are much less compared to what can come much more swiftly. It's the same thing maine NASA mein dekhi thi, wo pehla चंद्रयान मारे उनका चंद्रयान ही था, अपोलो था, उसको जब उन्होंने बनाया था तो पूरा कमरा भर करके बड़े कमरे में सारे कंप्यूटर जो मशीन थी, अब वही चीज वो चिप पर आ गई है, अब मच फास्टर है, स्विफ्टर है, बिकॉज पीपल बिकेम अवेयर ऑफ द पॉसिबिलिटी ऑफ व्हाट इज हिडन इनसाइड दैट लिटिल चिप. तो उसी तरह की चीज योग के साथ है, और ऐसा होना भी चाहिए. ओके, सो विल स्टॉप हियर. Thank you so much, and as I said, stay in touch.